We're on the top of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we're up to Miftach Chaluka, which you'll see is the end of the fourth line from the top. So we're talking about an article of clothing that a woman wears in which she has two ritzuos, two straps, and they come from the right side and the left side, they cross over and she ties them together, and that's how she keeps her begad on. And obviously, on a daily basis, when she puts on the garment and takes it off, she opens these knots. So when the Mishnah tells me that she's allowed to do so on Shabbos Peshitta, certainly this is not Kesha, this is not tying a knot, because she takes it apart on a daily basis. Lo tzricha, where do I need the Chiddush of the Mishnah, the Islay Trei Dashi? So this garment has two openings for the straps to go into. And Mao Detema, I might think, Chada Minayu Bitule Mevatel, that instead of tying both, she might just tie and untie one of them, leave one tied the whole time, and she'll be able to stretch the garment over her head and get out. And therefore, one of the two knots is a permanent knot. She's not even bothered taking it apart. Kamash Balon, that's what the Mishnah wants to teach me. No, it's going to be very uncomfortable for her if she leaves one side, whether it's the right or the left tied, to take the garment out of her, over her head, and take it off. It could be done, but it's not comfortable. And therefore, we're not going to be afraid that maybe she'll do that and leave one of the two ritzuos, one of the two straps tied. Then we have the case of Chutei Svacha. So we're talking now about a hat, and she ties this bonnet, this hat around with a knot, and the Mishnah says she's allowed to do that on Shabbos Peshitta. Surely she ties the knot and then she takes it apart. Why do I need the Mishnah to teach me? Lo tzricha de Rav Chale. She wears a hat loosely in such a way that when she ties it, there's still extra space. Ma'od etame mishlev shalfalei. Maybe you would think that she just takes the hat off without even bothering untying the straps. And therefore, the knot would be a permanent knot. Kamash malon. The Mishnah says, isha chasa al si'ara. In other words, even if it's a loose hat, a loose fit, it could be that when she takes it off, she'll rip out some of her hairs. She doesn't want to rip out any of her hairs. And Mishra Sharile. And therefore, there's no question that because she has this consideration, she's going to untie the Kesha, the knot, and therefore it's not a Kesha Shel Kayom. Then the Mishnah says, Ritzuos Minol Vesandol. So you have these straps which are used to tie a minol or a sandal to the leg. A minol is a shoe that covers the entire foot. A sandal is more or less an open sandal, as we call it. Itmar, we learned, Hitir Ritzua Shel Minol V'Sandal. Tani Chada, according to one Braisa, Chayav Chatos. And as we discussed yesterday, there's kosher and there's matir. Two sides of the same coin, tying and untying. So if you untie the ritzuos of either a shoe or a sandal, you chayv chatas. That's one brisa. Tanya, either we have another brisa, potter, avalos. That by untying these straps that fasten the shoe to your body, you violate an Isur Drabona, but you're not Chayav Achatos. Tanya, either we have a third brisa that says, Mutul Chatchila. you're even allowed to tie and untie these ritzuos. It's not even osum in Rabbanon. So we have three brisos with a triple contradiction. Kasha minol al minol, kasha sandal al sandal. There's a contradiction both for minol al sandal. The Gemara says the following: minol al minol lo kasha. If you're talking about a real shoe, then hadik tani chayv chatos bida oshkafe. Ushkafe is the Aramaic for what we call a sandlar. And when the shoemaker makes the shoes, he attaches the straps to the shoes in a permanent way. Liola, that it should always be chai v'kayim, that should be a permanent knot. And it's on the other side of the ritzu of the strap, which is not connected directly to the shoe itself. That's where you tie it and untie it on a daily basis. So as far as the shoemaker's strap, when he creates the shoe, that's permanent. And that's why the first brisa says Yechayv Chatos. Then we get to the second brisa. Potra Avol Osur Min Rabbanon. It's Osur Min Rabbanon. And the Gemara says, Min Rabbanon, these are Talmidei Chachamim that tend to leave their shoes tied for a week or two. They don't have the time to tie and untie their shoes. They want to save that extra couple of minutes for studying Torah. So it's only when, you know, the shoe gets very dirty or so, you know, he steps into mud. At that point, he has no choice but to take off the shoe. So he unties the knot. So in such a case, it's Asur Min Rabbanon, because that knot has a certain level of permanence. It's not Leolam Vayed, but he's going to keep it tied for a week or two. And you could probably assume that he has a loose shoe. It's not a tight fit, because if it's too tight, he won't be able to get his feet out and in again without untying the knot, and he wants to leave it tied. But if it's a loose fit, you know, instead of buying a size 7, he bought a size 8, you know, so he has a little extra room, and he leaves it tied. So that's also Min Rabbanon. Then we have a third brisa that says, Mutul Chatchila, that's B'dimnei Mechoza. Apparently, in that part of town, in Bavel, they would be very spiffy. You know, they wore shoes that fit perfectly, and they would tie and untie their shoes on a regular basis so that it would be really tied tight down to the foot, and no one would say they're walking around with loose shoes. Now we get to sandal. Sandal is sandal okasha. Here too we can reconcile the brisos. Hadik tani chayev chatos. When it says that a sandal, if you tie the knot, your chayv chatos, that's bidetoy. Toy are these Arab merchants. They do a lot of walking. And when they create a shoe, it's not a homemade shoe. It's a shoe that's manufactured in a very special way by the shoemakers. And they'll make sure to tie down the ritzua to the sandal in a very permanent knot. The Katre Ushkape. Ushkape, we said before, were the shoemakers. So the shoemakers, when they tie the ritzuos for these special orders made by the merchants, they make sure to tie it very tight, because otherwise the shoe is going to get loose, it's going to get ruined, because these merchants do a lot of walking. Then we have a brisa that says, Potter Avalosar. And what's that case? That's Bidachumarta de Kotre Inu. In other words, this is kind of a homemade sandal, and people, when they tie down, you know, the parts of the sandal, then they do it in a kind of semi-temporary way. And perhaps after a week or two, they take it apart, put it together again. So that's an Issa Drabbanon. And the third Brisa that says Mutal Chatchila, that's Besandal de Nafki Bey Beitre. They actually used to share shoes. That's how expensive shoes were. So that on one day Reuven would wear the shoe, on another day Shimon would wear the shoe. So they would have to adjust the shoe, and they would take off and untie the knot on a daily basis. Just very quickly, on the side, this Gemara has tremendous implications for tefillin. I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you had to borrow someone's tefillin, and the tefillin shel rush was too large or too small, and you had to adjust the knot so it would fit your head. And in tefillin, you need what's called a kesher shel kayom. It's got to be a permanent knot. But what's going to happen is, when you return the tefillin to its owner an hour after you borrowed it, he's going to have to readjust the knot. So that, I'm just pointing out that that's an issue when you, you know, think about that next time you borrow a pair of tefillin. Now the Gemara tells us a story about a sandal that was actually used by father and son. Kidder Rabbi Yehuda. Story of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Achua de Rav Sala Chasida. Okay, he was the brother of Rav Sala. Havile Ahu Zuga de Sandal. Sandali, he had a pair of sandals. Zimnin de Nofik Beyu. Sometimes he would wear the sandal. Zimnin de Nofik Beyu Nuka. Yunuka is his young child. Beno Akatan. Sometimes his son would wear the sandal. Also, Akami da Baye. So Rav Yehuda comes to Abai to ask him about a Shabbos question. He says to him, "Ki hai gavna, my, am I allowed to untie the knot when I pass over, I finish with the shoe, the sandal, and I give it over to my son? And he's going to retie it. What's the deal? Am I allowed to do this on Shabbos?" Now, Rav Yehuda asked this question because he thought maybe there's an Issa d'Rabbanan. It didn't occur to him that this would be a chiyuv chatos because he's being matir kesher, and to his surprise, Amalei Abai turns to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, "Chayv chatos, you have violated meleches matir when you take apart the knot because it's almanas likshar, because you want to tie it for your son." Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda responds, "Hashda pota v'losa kakashli. I was only thinking maybe it might be also lechatchila." And Chayiv Chatas coverly? He's telling me that it's a Chayiv Chatas. My timer. So now the Gemara explains the logic of Rabbi Yehuda when he asked the question, why did he assume for sure there's no Issur Dorais here? Mishum de Bechol Nami, even during the week. Zimne Nafikna Bey Ano. Sometimes I wear this sandal. And Zimne Nafik Bey Yanuka. Sometimes my son wears the sandal. So on a daily basis, I'm taking apart this knot and retying it to adjust it for my son. Amalei. So if I said, "Hachi," now you tell me what goes on over here. Mutalachatchila. If it's a knot that you take apart and re-knot it on a daily basis, that's not similar at all to Keshner. And it's mutalachatchila. Now the Gemara tells us two stories about two rabbis that on Shabbos they were walking and their sandal fell apart. It actually broke. And they each asked a question to the posek as to whether or not they have a way of getting this sandal back home. They're out there, they don't want to lose. Again, keep in mind, sandalim then were very expensive. So the first story is about Rabbi Yirmiya. Havi ka'asel basrei de Rabbi Avo. He was following Rabbi Avo. They were walking one in front of the other, one behind the other. But Carmelis. Now Carmelis is a place which, although midoraisa, it's not a rishus harabim, but midrabbanan, it's too similar. And the rabbanan said, you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelis. And ifsik ritzua de sandle. And the strap of his sandal, of Rabbi Yirmiya's sandal, broke. And now the sandal falls off his foot. Amalei, so Rabbi Yirmiya turns to Rabbi Avo, says, "My Navid Bey, what should I do now? You know, if I put the sandal back on my foot, it's going to fall off again, because the strap that attaches the sandal to my foot is ripped. On the other hand, I can't carry it because we're in a carmelis. What do I do? Now, a carmelis is open to the entire public. It's not a public thoroughfare like a highway, but it's accessible to the public. The last thing you want to do is leave a shoe which needs just pay a couple of piastres to the shoemaker to fix it. You don't want to leave it there for the entire balance of Shabbos, and it'll get stolen out there in a carmelis. Amalei, Rabbi Yavoz says the following. I have an eitzah for you. I have a suggestion. Shkol gami lach. Take a reed that's very soft. Again, I'm not sure exactly where he found this reed, and you're not allowed to carry four. But anyway, apparently it was there. The chazi lemachal behema. And this reed, because it's a soft reed, is animal consumption. And therefore it's not mukt. So you have no issue of mukt. And kroch iluye. And use this reed on a very temporal basis to wrap the sandal in such a way, like, you know, put it underneath and attach it to your foot. And it's not going to fall off. Okay. Now we have a second story. And here he's going to get a whole different answer. Abaye, havi koi kame derav Yosef. They were together in a courtyard, in a chatzer. And ifsik le'ritzua, and Abaye's sandal got ripped. Again, the strap that attaches the sandal to his foot. Amale Abaye turns to Rav Yosef. My avidle, what should I do? On the one hand, it's going to fall off again if I put it back on. On the other hand, I don't want to leave it here. So Rav Yosef says, Shavke. In this case, you're in a no-win situation. You have to leave the sandal where you are, where it fell off. You're not allowed to carry it. And it's mukta. Because, you know, right now in its present state, it's not functional. And what we have to understand, again, I would draw you a picture if I could, but their sandals had, there was a sole, right, that's where the foot goes, and then on two sides, there were like flaps, so you would grab onto that to put it on your shoe. Those are called in Hebrew as naim. And then there were two rings, I guess you'd call it, through which the strap would go through so that it would go from side to side. And what's important for us to understand is that there are two sides. There's the chitzona and the pnimis. So let's say, for example, if you're wearing a sandal on your right foot, so there was one, we'll call it a tabas, a ring, that protruded towards the outside. The other one was more chitzon, was pnimis, was more towards the inside. It was a little bit less apparent to the eye. And what happened in Abai's case was that nifsaka tabas, this ring ripped open in such a way that the ritsua, that's the strap or the string that's meant to attach the sandal to his foot, is now, it has nothing to holding it. It's not inside the ring. So you can't use it, and it's mukt. So Abai apparently knew the story, the first story that we told about Rabbi Yirmiyah. Umayshno mi Rabbi Yirmiyah. In the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Avod told him, just grab a, you know, some sort of a shmata, so to speak, and wrap it around, and it's fine. So the Gemara says, Hasam, in the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, it happened in a carmelis, which was outside in the public area. Lo mintar, and the sandal is not protected, meaning any thief could come along and just grab it and call it his own. Hacha mintar, but here it's in a chatzah, we're in a courtyard. And in a courtyard, if you leave it here, no one's gonna steal it. It's a private courtyard that's surrounded by mechitzos. So the Rishonim have a great deal of difficulty with this. It sounds like Rav Yosef says that in the case where it's out in a karmelis, even though it's mukta, because again it's broken, it's non-functional, nevertheless, for the sake of the value and the financial loss that he'd suffer if he left it out in that public area, we're going to allow him to move mukta. Here, it's in a chatzer, it's mintar, and therefore we don't have to worry about any financial loss. And therefore we're going to observe the law of mukta. But we don't know anywhere that for financial reasons you're allowed to violate mukta. So the Ravid comes up with a whole theory over here that whether or not it's mukta depends upon whether or not he intends to take it and fix it and so forth and so on, and it depends whether it's in a chatzer or it's in a karmel. I'm sorry. So now Abai comes back to ask a kash on Rav Yosef. Why is this sandal that ripped mukta? Keep in mind that the tabas, the ring that ripped, was the chitzona, the one that is towards the front. Bamanahu. It has the status of a kli. It's not mukta. Why? De'iba'ina hafichna le miyamin lismol. I can take my two sandalim, one is the right one, one's the left one, and I can switch them. Now, if I switch them, the one that has a tabas chitzona on my right foot, and that was ripped, now, when I put it onto my left foot, it becomes pnimis. You follow? You can try an experiment. You'll see it works, right? So you, by switching one shoe with the other, now the ritsu is on the inside. Before it was on the outside, chitzona, now it becomes pnimis. If it's pnimis, nobody sees it. Nobody looks inside, you know, towards the inner part of your foot when the, you know, where the 2 feet face each other. And therefore, you know, it's something that if you had to, you could wear it. And it's not embarrassing, so to speak. So if it still has the same kli, then it's not mukt. Omole. So if Yosef says to Abaye, that on your issue about the possibility in a case of a rip on a sandal, switching it from one leg to the other, there's going to be a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see it in a minute. But just what we have to know now, just to get by this Gemara, is that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, against the Chachamim, that we never consider the possibility of switching a sandal from the right foot to the left foot. Each sandal was made in a different way to fit the left foot and the right foot. One curves this way, one curves that way, and we don't switch around sandalim. Again, it's theoretically possible, but in halachic terms, Rabbi Yehuda rejects the possibility of considering something a kli, a nal, that you can switch from one foot to the other. It was made and manufactured for the right foot and designated for that, now you want to redesignate. No. That's not valid according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that the shem kli in the case of a nal is completely undermined despite the fact you could switch it from one leg to the other. That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, as we'll soon see. Rabbi Yehuda said it in a different context. Now, generally speaking, when there's a machlokas between the Chachom and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin against Rabbi Yehuda. But, says Rabbi Yosef, in this case we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Amalais, Rabbi Yosef said, me to commentary, it's Rabbi Yochanan, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask a big kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yochanan, who's an Amora, right? Rabbi Yehuda's a Tana. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to, you know, stand on his head in order to answer and reconcile this question. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan put in such effort to reinterpret a brisa in such a way that it could reflect the Shita of Yehuda is because apparently Rabbi Yochanan accepted the Shita of Yehuda. And if we accept Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, then there's no such thing as transferring a sandal from the left to the right or vice versa. And therefore, in your case, Abaye, when your chitzona, tabas chitzona, again, if I had a whiteboard, those would be the two key words for today. Tabas chitzona. If the tabas chitzona ripped, we're not going to say, well, let him switch feet, and if he puts on his other foot, it becomes a tabas pnimis, which is not mechuar, it's not discussed, it's not embarrassing. No. Every shoe has to fit that foot for which it was made. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Maihi, where do we find this machlokas between Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda? And Rabbi Yochanan is going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, now we're talking about Tumas Kalim. Sandal, Shenifsiku Shte Oznov. So you now have a sandal that was Tame. Let's say, for example, a Zav wore this sandal. That's called Tumas Medris because he puts all his weight on the sandal. But now, after that happened, the sandal got ripped. And remember we said that there were two straps. I mean, not straps, but little loops that on both sides of the sandal that hook inward so that you can pull it and put it onto your shoe. They both got ripped. Or, alternatively, oh, shtei tarsiosav. Tarsiosav are those rings that we spoke about, where the straps go through the rings from one side to the other, and then you tie it around your foot. Those got ripped. Oh, shenital kol akaf shelo, or the entire sole of the shoe that separates his foot from the ground was completely removed. Tar. It was tame, and now it became tar. Why? Because it loses its shame kli. It's no longer a functional sandal, and the tuma just evaporates. However, achas mi oznov, or achas mi tarsiosov, or shenital rov hakaf shelo, tame. If, on the other hand, only one of the two oznaim, or one of the two tarsiosov, these tabaos, or only part of the soul got removed, then lo parcha tuma. The tuma doesn't evaporate. It still has a shame kli. It's fixable. And we still consider it a very serious na'al. And it's a kli, and therefore the tuma remains. Now, apparently, in this case, it says Achas mitarsiosav, it doesn't specify whether it was the chitzona or the pnimis. It sounds like even if the chitzona was ripped off, it still remains a shoe. And the Gemara is going to analyze this by raising the possibility that he can change the chitzona and make it into pnimis by changing it from the right foot to the left foot, or vice versa again. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nifsaka Pnimis, Tame, Hachitzona, Tahar. If the inner Tabas was ripped, then Tame. And why is that? Because that's something he's going to fix. But if it's the Chitzona, and the Chitzona, as we said, is something that appears to the eye of the spectator. And that's very embarrassing, to walk around with a sandal where the part of the shoe that's ripped is obvious to the naked eye. Then, forget about this shoe. It's not a kli anymore. It's tar. Aye, what about the chachamim? The chachamim said that it remains tameh because you can take the chitzona, put it on the other foot, and it becomes a pnimis. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't consider that possibility. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that nifsecha chitzona is tahar. Now that shita, which is lakula, it's a leniency in Tumah V'Tahara of Rabbi Yehuda, becomes a Chumrah as far as Muktzon Shabbos. And that's what Rabbi Yosef was pointing out to Abaye. That when Abaye said, well, this is not Mukt, it still has a Shem Kli, even though the Chitzonah was ripped, I could always switch it to the Primus. Yeah, that makes sense according to the Chachamim, but it doesn't make sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Ula V'Itema Rabba Barba Chanam Rabbi Yochanan Kimachlokes Linyan Tuma Kach Machlokes Linyan Shabbos. The halacha, the status of this now, in the case where the chitzona, the tabas chitzona was ripped, is a twofold machlokas, and it's interdependent. It's going to be a machlokas as far as Tumah V'Tahara is concerned, as far as Mukts is concerned. If I hold that in Tumah V'Tahara, it's tahar, which means that it's considered non-fixable, then in Mukta, it's going to be also Vitoris Mukta. If on the other hand I hold in Tumah V'Tahara, it remains Tome, and that means that I can fix it up because I can switch it from one foot to the other, Chitzona to Pnimis, then in Shabbos, it is considered a Na'al, it's considered a Kli, and it's not Mukta. Avol inyan Chalitza. Right, so a man dies, never leaving his wife a widow, childless. He had no, well, she doesn't have to be childless, but he didn't leave any children, and he has a brother, so she needs chalitza from the brother, which means she has to take off his na'al, and it's got to be a na'al. And here, there's no machlokas, says Rabbi Yochanan. What does that mean? Two possibilities. He might be saying that in the case of chalitza, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that this now, even if the tabas chitzona was broken, it still is a valid now for chalitza, because, just one second, because somehow, in chalitza, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moda, or the other way around, that the chachamim will agree to Rabbi Yehuda, then in this case, you can't switch it from one foot to the other, and therefore, it's, as far as chalitza is concerned, it's disqualified. So we don't know. Havinan ba. The Gemara says, we wondered about Rabbi Yochanan. Aliba de man. He's telling us that one of these two shitas, the Chachom Rabbi Yehuda, concedes to the other shita. Ilema aliba de Rabbanon. If he's telling me a chiddush about the Rabbanon, which means the following. That le'inyan tuma manahavi. As far as tuma is concerned, the Rabbanon maintained the shame kli, meaning that he could switch it from chitzona to pnimis, from foot to foot. And le'inyan Shabbos nami manahavi. It's also considered a kli, and therefore it's not mukta. So on the one hand, it retains its status of tuma, and on the other hand, it's mukta. Avolo le'inyan chalitza. As far as chalitza is concerned, lav monahu, it's completely disqualified. Which means that you're making it impossible to switch a right foot to a left foot. Vatnan, that's impossible. We have a mission in Yevamis, chalitza shel smol be yamin, chalitza sekshera. That if, let's say, the Yavam was wearing the wrong shoe on the wrong foot, the chalitza is still valid. So we see that as far as chalitza is concerned, you can switch from one foot to the other. And therefore, if nifsika tabas hachitzona, we should certainly assume, as the Rabbanan always assume, that it still is a nal as far as chalitza is concerned, because of the possibility of switching it from one foot to the other. Ella, we have no choice. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. That here Rabbi Yehuda would have to admit in chalitza that it does retain its shame kli, its shame mona. Midah le'inyan tuma. Lav monahu, le'inyan Shabbos nami, lav monahu. Avo le'chalitza de monahu. Maybe we're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan's point was that even Rabbi Yehuda would concede that in chalitza, it has a shame mana. Why? Because even though removing the tabas chitzona, normally, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would undermine its shame, Now, but in the case of chalitza, where we have this halacha that you could switch it from the right hand, right foot to the left foot, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree it still retains the shame now. Says the Gemara, no. That's not a logical argument. Why? Eimar di amrinon chalitza shel smol biyamin. Chalitzasa kshera. That if he took the left foot, the left shoe, and he wore it on his right foot, then the chalitza is valid. That's hecha de la milse monokoi. The shoe is a perfectly good shoe. Okay, it was made for the left foot. So he could take that shoe that has a shame now, and he could wear it on the wrong foot, on the right foot instead of the left. Aval hocha. But here, that's not the case that Rabbi Yochanan's addressing. He's talking about Rabbi Yehuda conceding in a case where nifsaka chitzona, and therefore lemilsa lav monahu. Right? As far as the right foot, which was created for the right foot, this is nifsaka chitzona, which makes it look really strange, and no one's going to wear it. To Amar Rabbi Yehuda, nifsaka chitzona tar. That in this case, it's no longer a nal. And we're not going to raise the possibility that he could put it on the other foot. And here you're talking about a shoe that's broken. The tabas is completely ripped. Is alma lav monahu, and therefore it cannot be used even for chalitza. Why would Rabbi Yehuda be moda that it's valid for chalitza? Okay, if you have a good, perfect shoe in perfect shape and you wear it on the wrong foot, so the chalitza is kshera. But if the shoe itself is deficient because it's ripped, then Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not a mana. We're not going to raise the possibility, well, he can take the chitzona and put it on the pnimis. So our answer is, Li'olam, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Ema v'chein l'chalitza, that what Rabbi Yochanan was saying is that the same halacha that applies for Shabbos and for Tumah V'Tara applies as far as chalitza is concerned. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan wants to teach us, that to the same extent that Rabbi Yehuda says that it loses its shame mana when it is nifsaka hatabasa chitzona, therefore it's invalid for chalitza dechi amrina. When do we say chalitza shel smol v'shel yamin chalitza sekshera? That's only hecha. Here we're turning to Amid Beis. Dylan Mill say mona who? It's a perfectly good shoe, just he wore it on the wrong foot. Aval hocha, but here if nifsaka hatabas hachitzona, is then lemil say lav mono. It's not fit for its original designation as a right shoe, and therefore it's not a nal. And the fact that you could switch it from chitzona to primis, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't reckon with that. So now we see that Rabbi Yochanan worked overtime to try to figure out the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and what are the purviews of Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan passing like Rabbi Yehuda. And if he passing like Rabbi Yehuda, then Abaye has a problem with his nal that fell off in a chatzer. And Rabbi Yosef points out to him that, what are you going to tell me? Well, okay, the outer side ripped, the outer ring, but I'll put it on the other shoe. No. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. And it has no shame now. And therefore it's mukt. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistam mishnah. How could Rabbi Yochanan passing like Rabbi Yehuda when he has an absolute rule that if there's a stam mishnah and the mishnah doesn't mention any names, we pass like that mishnah? Now I'm going to prove to you from a certain mishnah that we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And the Mishnah says in Masechet Kelim, and this has to do with the case of a Zav. So a Zav is wearing a sandal, and you have two issues here. One issue is called Midras, because again he puts his whole weight on the shoe and he's a Zav. And you have another issue is called Maga, because there's a contact here, and contact itself is a tumah. I mean, keep in mind as we go through this that there's a fundamental difference. Tumas medrus is a tumah chamur. It's what's called an ava tumah, and it could be metame odom v'kelim ochlim u'mashkin. Not so in the case of maga tumah. Maga tumah is on a lower level, and it's only metame, it only makes a rishon l'tumah, which could not convey tumah to a person or to a vessel. So the Mishnah says, sandal shenifsika achas mi oznov v'tikna. So we had a sandal of a zav, and the sandal therefore incurred tumas medris, which makes it, as we said before, a very severe level of tumah. It's an avatumah. And now it remains tamei medris. Why? Because it was only nifsika achas mi oznov. So it still has the other ozen, as we call it. Then nifsika shnia. Now at this point, the second ozen also ripped off. Vitikna, and he had it fixed. He took it to his shoemaker. But before he took it to his shoemaker, the sandal which was worn by the zav had no aznayim, not on the right side, not on the left side. Is tahar milatami medrus. It's tahar, even though it was tamei tumas medrus, but parcha tumas. Why? Because it's no longer fit for a nal. Because once the two aznayim ripped off, then at that point the sandal becomes what's called a rishon l'tumah, and the original sandal is gone. It's batel, because now both aznayim have been broken off. So parchamen tumah. So that tumas medrus is gone. So he has now a brand new sandal. Again, halachically, because the old sandal is gone. Aval tamei maga midras. It remains tamei as anything that had contact with a midras, which is tumas maga. That's only a tumas rishon l'tumah, because the sandal itself touches itself, so to speak. So at one point, it was tamei tumas midras, and now there was a maga between the sandal and itself. And therefore, it is tamei tumas maga medrus. Anyway, the Gemara asks the following question. Mishnah, the Mishnah in Kalim does not qualify anything. It doesn't say, well, which ozen was ripped. And therefore, we would assume, lo shna pnimis, lo shna chitzona. There would be no difference in halacha and the status of this sandal, whether or not the ozen hachitzona was the one that ripped off, or the ozen apnimis. That means that even in the case of nifsika hachitzona, it's tame, right? Because the only time that we said parcha tumasa, the tuma dissipates, is only when both oznayim were ripped off. Apparently, if one ozen is ripped off, it remains tame. That could only fit with the shita of the chachamim, that it remains tame, because since it was the chitzona that ripped, he could always switch it over to his other leg and it would become a pnimis. So now we have a Mishnah that reflects the sheet of the Chachamim. Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it was nifsika hachitzona, we should apply the principle of parcha tumasa. It's no longer nal. He would be embarrassed to walk around with a shoe that has the chitzona, that's the part that everyone sees, ripped off. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said that it loses its status as a nal and it becomes tar. And yet, this Mishnah, in the case of ozen, nifsika ozen achas, retains the status of a nal and therefore remains tummy. It's only when it's nifsika shtei ha tabaos, shtei oznaim, only then is parcha tumaso. So how do we reconcile the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, well, you know, Rabbi Yochanan went out of his way to explain Rabbi Yehuda, which means that he passed like Rabbi Yehuda, but we have a stam Mishnah like Chachamim. So the Gemara says, look, that's not what the Mishnah has in mind. But rather, primis dafka, when the Mishnah says that nifsika achas mi oznov is tame, that's only the pnimis. And if it's the pnimis, then nobody sees it, right? It's on the inside of his foot, right? If you follow what I mean, and therefore it retains its status of a nal. But ein ochinami, if nifsaka chitzona, then it would be tahar. And why would it be tahar? Because we're holding now like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't say, well, he can take it from the chitzon and switch it and make it into a pnimis, and therefore it loses its shem nal and its tahar. So again, in this hukimta, when it says nifsaka achas miyoznov tamei, that's because it was the pnimis, but enochinami, if it would have been nifsaka chitzona, it would be tahar, reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara asks the following kasha, Avol chitzona mai tor. If it was nifsaka chitzona, it would be tor. Ihochi aditoni. Why does the Mishnah have to say in the Sefer that it became tor because both Oznaim broke off? Is tor min amejah sabal tor min yuzah? Liflog v'lisne b'didah. Why do you have to go stretch your arm out to tell me that it's tar because both Oznaim ripped off? You should have said, Vamedvar Murim, when does it retain its status as a nal and its tome? Shenifsukha Pnimis. Avol Chitzona Tar. Forget about both Oznaim. Even if one Ozen was ripped, it becomes tar if it's the Chitzona which everyone sees, and therefore it's embarrassing to wear such a shoe. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok bar ben Yosef to Mishnah Seinu. Wow, look how far Rabbi Yitzchok is going to go to reinterpret the Mishnah. Besandal sheyesh lo arba aznayim v'arba tarsiosu. In other words, when it talks about shtayim, it means two on one side as opposed to two on the other side. He's got now a sandal that has two sets on each side of two aznayim. You know, those curved in straps that he uses to put on the shoe. He's got two of them. It's a very fancy, sophisticated sandal. And he's got two rings on each side of the shoe. We're talking about one shoe, right? Two strings that he puts straps through this way and through that way. It's like multi-strapped. And now the Mishnah takes on a whole different meaning. And what is that? So we're going to say the following, that if when the Mishnah says that the Oznaim ripped, we're talking about the Chitzona. But again, now we have two Oznaim on the Chitzona. So the Mishnah says the following, if one of those Tabaot, those round rings, breaks on the Chitzona side, then it's still Tomei. Why? Because he has another ring on that side. So it doesn't look so terrible. You know, it's holding up the shoe. But if two rings on that side, on that Chitzona side, rip off, then, you know, this is not a sandal that you would wear. Now, again, you know, this is really a stretch, and Rabbi Yitzchok for Rabbi Yosef admits that it's a stretch. But shelo lishbar dvarav shel Rabbi Yochanan. Since Rabbi Yochanan paskin halachic Rabbi Yehuda, we got to get this Mishnah to reflect or to be reconciled with Rabbi Yehuda, otherwise Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting himself. So we're going to really push into Ukimta that there are two Aznaim on each side, etc., etc., in order to placate, you know, and defend Rabbi Yochanan. Ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar Abchana bar Abba Omar Rav halachik Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan Omar ein halachik Rabbi Yehuda. We have now a whole new transmission in which, according to Ravin, who was one of the great transmitters of Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, when he came to Bavel, he told me that it was Rav who passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan in fact passing against Rabbi Yehuda. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi Va'amid Metareitz Rabbi Yochanan Libd Rabbi Yehuda Shmamino Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan worked so hard to defend Rabbi Yehuda, it means that he must have paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara answers Amoroi Ninu Va'libd Rabbi Yochanan. There are two Amoroim who had two different traditions, as to what the opinion of Rav Yochanan is. Did he paskin like Rav Yehuda or did he not? Ravin said that according to Rav Yochanan, he did not paskin like Rav Yehuda. But we have another tradition of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He said, according to Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan came to answer Rav Yehuda and defend him because he held like Rav Yehuda. So there are two traditions as to what Rav Yochanan actually held, whether he paskin like Rav Yehuda or like the Chacham. Tanan Hossam, we're back to Masechta Kelim. We have a Mishnah that says, Kol Klei Bali Batim. This is what's called a Kli Eitz. It's a utensil that's made out of wood. And they're owned by a Balabayas, and they became Tomei. Ishi'uram Kirimonin. What happens if the Kli breaks? It has now a hole in it. At what point do we say it's tar because it ceases to be a Kli? It's no longer functional. And the answer is Kirimonim. Rimonim are a larger fruit, certainly larger than zasim, than olives. And if the hole is such that if you put a rimon into the kli, it's going to fall out, then it's no longer a kli, and it becomes tar. But if on the other hand, let's say you had a smaller hole, which would still retain a pomegranate, then he doesn't want to get rid of the kli, he holds on to it, he uses it for pomegranates, and therefore it remains tomei. Boy, Chizkia, what do we do in the following scenario? Nikev kimotzi zayas, it had a hole which was large enough for an olive to fall through, so right now it's still tomei, and stomach. And then he plugged it up. Chazar v'nikev, kimotzi zayis. Now he has a second opening right near the first one, and he plugs up that one. And then, achish limo. Oh, see, so, right, what do we have? We have nikev ustomo, chazar v'nikev kimotzi zayis ustomo, and then again, it happened over and over again. So on every occasion, he had a very small hole, which would only allow his eyes to fall through, but not a rimon. But he really has a whole bunch of holes, and they're right near each other. If you would attach them all together, you would call it a rimon. Achish limo, limotzi rimon, mau. How do we view this? Do we say, well, he plugged up each hole, and let's go on in life. So he doesn't have one single hole that can't hold a pomegranate. Or do we say no? The closure and the plug up is only temporary, but really the kli itself is damaged. And if you put together all the different damages, you end up with a motzi rimon. Omalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi, he turns to Chizkia and he says, "My Rebbe, Shanisa Lanu, you taught us in the Mishnah." Sandal shenifsika achas miyozna v'tikna tomei midras nifsika shniya v'tikna tor mina midras avol tomei maga midras v'amir le'maishna rishona darkaima shniya. In other words, what difference it make if one of the oznayim broke off, he still has another ozon. And he says shniya nami ha'metakna rishona. Oh, now a second one broke, but in the meantime he had fixed the first one. And yet, the Mishnah says that once the second one was broken, it's tar. The Armit Lon Alon, Ponim Chadoshes Bolakad. And you told us that the reason why it's tar is because now that the second Ozen broke, it's no longer now. What do you mean it's no longer now? In the meantime, in the interim, before the second one broke, I fixed the first one. It's Hachinami, we should say the same thing here. Ponim Chadoshos Bolakan. That even though I plugged up each hole, I still view it as a hole. Not WH, but HOLE, right? And it's Ponim Chadosh, the Kli should be Tor. And Chizkia was so impressed by Rabbi Yochanan because the logic was so compelling. Kari Allah, he spoke about Rav Yochanan, he says, Les Dain Bar Inish. This is not a human being. There's no human being who could be so brilliant and to ask me such a kasha from one Mishnah to the other. And therefore he must be a Malach. He's an angel of heaven. Ika Diamri Others have a different version, and this is what Chizkiya said about Rav Yochan. Kigon Dein Bar Inish. Adam, you know, to have that appellation that you're an Adam, you have to be a great man, you have to be something like Rav Yochanan to be called an Adam, meaning an Adam Gadol. And here's a little tiny Agadita here. Amar Abzera, Amar Rav Bar Zimuna, Imar Rishonim B'nei Malachim, Anu B'nei Anoshim. If the earliest scholars of the previous generation are like the angels, we're like men. And if you're going to tell me that the earliest scholars are really men, we're not even in the same league. We belong to the animal kingdom. And and then we don't even reach the level of the famous donkey of Chanina ben Dosa. That even when they fed it non-kosher, like tevel and stuff like that, it refused to eat. That's how holy Rav Chanina ben Dosa's donkey was. Or Pinchas ben Yair. Pinchas ben Yair's donkey was also very holy. Elikishar Chamor. Alright, now we go back to that Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you have a flask and you keep wine or oil in the flask, then you're allowed to tie it and untie it. Pshita. I mean, after all, they do this on a regular basis, daily, to take the oil out, take the wine out. Lotzricha, de isle tarti uni. The Mishnah is talking about a case of a cask or a flask that has two different openings. It's a double opening, one to the right and one to the left. And with these two openings, what he does is, sometimes he'll open both of them in order to pour out the oil, the wine. I would think when he locks up one of them, he'll leave it there on a permanent basis because he has another one on the other side. The Mishnah wants to teach us, therefore, that we're not afraid of that he really ties and unties both of these openings on the flask, and therefore that neither of them are a kesher shel kayom. Kedera shel basar, right? He takes his pot of meat and he surrounds it with some sort of a basket and he ties it on top to keep it warm. And he ties and he unties it on a regular basis. Pshita, what did the Mishnah have to tell me? So tzricha de isle shlocha. The Mishnah is talking about a case of a kedera that has on its side another spout. And even though he can open this covering, this basket on the top, but you know what? Very often he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't bother with that. He would take out the wine from the spout on the side. Therefore, maybe we'll assume that he's going to leave the knot tied on top, and he'll always make sure to pour out the wine from the spout. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah wants to tell us no, that he's allowed to tie the kedera on top, and it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, kosherin lifnei ha-behema b'shvil shelo teitze pshita. Once again, you tie down the behema so it doesn't run away, but you're going to take it apart on a daily basis. Lo tzricha de isle tarte isare. We're talking about a case where he has two ropes and he ties both of them and unties both of them. I would have thought, and here on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Medal, Chadaminayu Bitule Mevatel, let's be choshish that maybe one of these two ropes he's going to leave on a more permanent basis and he'll be able to keep the animal tied down with one rope, Kamash Malan. The Mishnah says without choshish, and therefore he's allowed to tie both ropes. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Lozim and Yaakov, and you're allowed to tie in front of the behema in order to make sure that it doesn't run away. Amar Le'abai, Abai says to Rabbi Yosef, Halacha miklal de pligi. There's no indication that Mishnah that the Chacham rejected Rabbi Yehuda. So why do you have to tell me Halacha kimoso? Amar Le, my nafkalach mina. What difference does it make to you whether they argue or they don't argue? I'm just telling you that we passing like Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, Amalei, Sabai responds to Rabbi Yosef, what do you mean? Gemara, Gomar, Zmarta Tehe? Are you teaching us that Allah is kemoso without any purpose? It's going to be like a singer who just sings away and nobody's listening to him. We want to know exactly whether there's a machlokas here, and that's a fair question. Okay, here we got up to the Mishnah of Kosher and Dli on the top of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, six lines down from the top, and that's a Yud Shem for the next year.